three sons who left home and went on their own and prospered. And getting back together, they discussed the gifts they were able to give their elderly mother. The first said, I built her a big house. The second said, I sent her a Mercedes-Benz with a driver. The third smiled and said, I've got you both beat. You remember how Mom enjoyed reading the Bible? And you know how she can't see very well? So I sent her a remarkable parrot that recites the entire Bible. It took the elders of our church 12 years to teach him. He is one of a kind. Mom just has to name the chapter and verse, and the parrot recites it. Soon thereafter, Mom sent out her thank you letters. Milton, she wrote one son, the house you built is so huge, I live in only one room, but I have to clean the whole house. Gerald, she wrote to another, I'm too old to travel. I stay most of the time at home, so I rarely use the Mercedes-Benz you gave me, and the driver is very rude to me. Dearest Donald, she wrote to her third son, you have the good sense to know what your mother likes. The chicken was so delicious. Amen. That's right. Well, I tell you, I'm going to stop there with those. Most people in America look forward to and plan ahead for retirement. You know, is anybody doing that in here? Some of y'all are enjoying your retirement. Some of y'all, most of us are planning for retirement. We hope one day we'll be able to just kind of kick back. And if there's any Medicare, Medicaid left, we'd like to ride on some of that. You know, I get that thing in the mail that says, hey, this is what you're going to get on Social Security, you know, if you live to 65. But you know, the funny thing is, although we can retire from the secular world, there isn't any retirement plan from serving the Lord. But too many of our senior adults say, you know, I graduated from Sunday school. Or I tell you, back in the day, I used to do this and I used to do that. But you know, a lot of times we get mixed up and we try to bring the world into the church. But really what the scripture teaches us is we should be bringing the church into the world. Amen? We shouldn't be dressing and acting like the world. The world should be dressing and acting like us. We should be having an impact on our community versus our community having an impact on us. And I tell you, as a pastor of this church, I think that we should honor our senior adults and listen to what they have to say. I hope that y'all will hear that today. I'm going to try not to preach very long. You know, they say that he who preaches long doesn't get invited back. So I'm going to try to keep it brief today, and we got some food to eat after. And we have a couple of testimonies from our senior adults. That's how we're going to finish today. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to Psalms chapter 92, verse 12 through 15. And while you're turning there, I want to just kind of make a point to you. Some of you think that God doesn't use senior adults, that he just uses young people. And I tell you, being as I'm 41 years old this year, I kind of feel like I'm middle-aged, but there's so many senior adults that always tell me, I'm just a young buck. You're just a young fellow. You're still young. Praise God. Amen? I hope I've got 40 years. I hope I've got 50 more years. Let me just read you a couple of examples. I did a little research. Because some people don't believe me. They don't believe that God uses old people or senior adults. I'm better stay away from that old people. I'll have a hymnal thrown at me. For example, do you remember Moses and Aaron? Do you remember Moses and Aaron? If you remember them, give me the head nod. So some of y'all don't remember Moses and Aaron. Moses was the man that God called out of the burning bush to go into Egypt and lead the people Israel out of slavery. Do you remember that? And you remember his brother Aaron? Well, their ages were, Moses was 80 years old and Aaron was 83. Wow, you're going to be kidding me. I thought they were in their 40s or their 50s. No, Moses was in his 40s when he went out and tried to intervene between the little altercation that was happening. Remember when he murdered the Egyptians? And then he went in the wilderness for 40 years tending sheep. So he was in his 80s. That's the first instance, and you can find that, if you don't believe me, in Exodus chapter 7, verse 7. Do you remember Joshua and Caleb, the ones that actually led the conquest into the promised land? Listen to what their ages were. Joshua was 80 years old, and Caleb was 85 years old. And Joshua died at 110. That's how we know that his age was 80 when he began, because it was a 30-year conquest. Do you remember Abraham and Sarah? Who God made the promise to, you know, get all your stuff and leave Ur. Also, when he promised him and Sarah that they were, what's up? Also, him and Sarah, when he made the promise to them that they would have the child, which is what you're talking about, not when they left Ur. When he made the promise to them about having a child, Abraham was 99 years old and Sarah was 90. Wow. How about that? Let me keep going here. Zacharias and Elizabeth, do you remember the parents of John the Baptist? He was well on, well advanced in years, Luke chapter 1, verse 7 says. And remember what he was doing when the angel of forerunner to the Messiah. And the last two that I put on here is Simeon and Anna. Do you remember the two that hung out in the temple and they prayed and fasted every day and night? It says that they were well advanced in years. And Anna, the prophetess, she was 84 years old. And this is just a few examples. Remember Paul, the one that wrote most of the New Testament? He is known as an aged man. He wasn't a young buck. He was an older man, and he had three missionary journeys where he traveled all over the world. That was before there was Amtrak or Delta or Continental Airways. He was on the leather personnel carriers. You know what I mean? So, and, you know, many people try to make excuses and say, well, it's because I'm old or it's because my body's falling apart. But I believe really it's because of spiritual laziness. Spiritual laziness. Many times, I don't know about you, but I look for excuses not to go on my 40-minute walk. Anybody there? Some of y'all have been doing it so long, you don't have to look for excuses. You don't expect to go anymore, amen? But the point today is our senior adults. The senior adults have a huge role in our church, and they have a huge role in the kingdom of God, and they should have a huge role in our families. They should have. Matter of fact, the Bible teaches us that we're to obey our parents in the Lord, amen? So our parents should never stop giving us godly counsel. They should never stop being the wise sage, if you understand what I mean. Giving us wisdom from God's word and wisdom from life because they've already lived. Amen? I don't know about y'all. I remember when I was 17. I have a 17-year-old. But when I was 17, when my parents told me stuff, I was thinking, man, you don't know what I got going on. You don't know what's going on in the world. Man, you back in the 8-track days, man. We're in a cassette player now. Now we're in MP3s and nanos and iPods, and things just keep on evolving and keep on getting more and more. But you know what? The truth doesn't change, does it? Jesus Christ was the same yesterday and today, and he's going to be forever. It doesn't matter what is next. Do you think there's going to be something next? You remember the 8-track players and the 33 records and the cassettes and the CDs and the MP3s? That's just one thing. Things just continue to get more and more technological, don't they? But you know what? The simple things in life continue to stay simple. Amen. Salvation continues to be simple. Who we are continues to be simple. Who God is. Amen. It's not a difficult process. And our elders or our senior adults that are seated here today should be honored by us. Now the problem is all senior adults have not lived a life worthy of honor. Some people started at my age doing nothing. I'm not saying anybody in here did that. But sometimes in life, senior adults, when they're my age, they didn't really take up their role in church. And then later on, when they get 80 years old, they're not filled with that wisdom and experience that we need. We do need that. I need that. You need that. We need someone who's already done what we're trying to do so that they can instruct us and teach us. I'll just give you a quick analogy. In land navigating, when you use a compass, you know, there's 360 degrees, and when you get on an azimuth and you're moving through the woods, if you only have to go 100 yards, if you're 1 degree off, you might be a little bit off at 100 yards. But if you move 5 miles through the woods and you're 1 degree off, guess what? You're going to be very lost when you get to the end of that 5 miles. It's the same thing in the senior adult realm. If they've been walking in the light of God's word, and they've been walking on the right azimuth for 70 years, or 60 years, or 80 years, or 90 years, they're worthy of our honor. Amen? They've already made some wrong turns and got back on course. They've already tried the things of vanity or the things of the world and realized, no, this is the right path. Let me get on this path. Now I just want to tell you one more little story that God revealed to me. I was riding down the road with Alice, and I'm always writing on napkins when God reveals stuff to me. And he revealed to me this big apartment building that was built on this very fertile soil. And there was a farmer up in Indiana, and he farmed corn. And I mean, he had the most fertile soil in the whole state of Indiana. And he grew corn on it every year. Yes, he put chicken manure on it every year in the springtime and in the summertime, and he plowed it in. And he had the most fertile soil in the whole state. And I mean, his stand of corn was the best. None was like his. And a very wealthy landowner came along and he said, I want to buy your farm. And he bought it. He bought it for a lot of money, and the farmer said, cool. He took the money and went and bought him a different farm. Well, some years later, there became a famine in the land and a drought, and there was no soil that would produce any fruit. And the wealthy landowner, he had built an apartment complex on top of the most richest, fertile soil in the whole state. And everybody said, there's no soil anywhere where we can plant. There's no soil anywhere that will produce the fruit we're looking for. And the old farmer said, I know where there's some is. There's an apartment complex built right on top of the most fertile soil in the our senior adults are just like that. They're the most fertile soil to produce spiritual fruit. And there are things on top of them that prohibit them, whether it be the disrespect or dishonor of the young people, or maybe health problems or a different kind of communication problems that keep them from producing the fruit in our church. So I hope that you'll hear from Psalm chapter 92, verse 12 through 15, what God expects from our senior adults and expects us to get from them. Look at verse number 12. I'm just going to read you the four verses and then go back through it briefly. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Now that's God's expectation for the elder or for the senior adult, and there are many references in the New Testament as well as the Old Testament, not even including the ones that I read you, the examples of the people that God has used. Listen to verse 12 when he says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. The palm tree, at first when you hear about the palm tree, you think, well, what's a palm tree got to do with anything? You remember the palm tree or the leaves that they laid down in front of the Lord Jesus Christ when he made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Do you remember that? Also, the palm tree, even during the wintertime, when the winter comes or when they get cut back or when they get beat down, they're almost indestructible. They always come back. So it's the same thing with our senior adults. The Bible compares them to a palm tree. Not only do they look pretty, and there are hundreds of different kinds, they're almost indestructible. And look at the second reference he makes, that he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Now, the cedar tree in Lebanon grows to be 130 foot tall and about 8.5 feet around, or wide, 8.5 feet wide. And if you ever think about what they used it for, they used the cedar trees in Lebanon to build King Solomon's temple. And they built everything nice out of the cedar trees. And that's what God compares the senior adult to, someone who's constantly growing heavenward. And let me just I got a little thing here. I won't read it all to you, but I did a little research on the palm tree and on the cedars of Lebanon. Cedar is one of the most aromatic and resistant types of wood known. The variety known as the cedar of Lebanon was of especially good quality, solid, not many knots, and of a deep, rich, reddish color. The trees themselves were of a rather unusual shape, quite wide with branches growing nearly straight out, and a nearly flat top in contrast to, for example, the North American white or black cedar varieties, which are seldom as tall and always narrower. They could sometimes reach a height of well over 100 feet. Their very name came to symbolize strength and magnificence. I'm going to stop right there. That's what God's talking about when he talks about the senior adult. They are someone who is like a palm tree, someone who is indestructible, those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And also the cedar just continues to grow straight up, not crooked, not full of knots, but straight up. And that's what our senior adults, our godly senior adults are. Amen? Come on, y'all, give me an amen on that. Amen.
And you know the first sentence here in verse 12 when he says, the righteous, you know that not one of us is righteous. Amen?
And the senior adults that God's referring to are the ones that know that they're not righteous. A self-righteous senior adult is of no use to the church and is of no use to God. But the one who finds his righteousness in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the one that's like a palm. This is the one that's like a cedar of Lebanon. Amen? The one that knows how to become righteous. And the only way to become righteous is to come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Amen? Every single one of us has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and is in need of the blood of Jesus Christ, which was shed for the sin of the whole world. Amen?
Look at verse 13. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Y'all may have heard the saying, grow where God plants you.
Anybody? I'll tell you, I thought Sunday school was the only place going to be quiet this morning, but it's quiet in here again. Let me read that to you again, verse 13.
Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Grow where God plants you.
Grow where God plants you.
Let me read you a quick scripture here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 says, therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day.
The senior adult who is planted in the house of God, even though there's nothing we can do to reverse the aging process, this scripture teaches us that we're being renewed in our inward man. How often? Every day, day by day, the person who's been planted in the house of God, the church, is the the one who is renewed day by day. They continue to be fresh and flourishing, even though their outward man is perishing.
Listen to chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Amen. Is anybody looking forward to that? Just a few of you, about 15%. Verse 6, so we're always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciousness. Look at verse 14 in Psalm 92. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Now, to some senior adults, that might be a little convicting. Still bear fruit in my old age. I taught Sunday school. I had Bob Ferguson's job back 40 years ago, or I had Kevin Baldwin's job 35 years ago, and man, I'm just kind of coasting now. I'm just going to kind of coast, and I'm going to coast on into heaven. That's not what God's plan is it? Come on now. At least you young people should be saying amen. Let me read it to you again. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Let me read to you what John chapter 15, verse 16 says about producing fruit. You did not choose me. This is in the red letters, what Jesus Christ is speaking to his church. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. So you mean that it's loving someone else when I produce fruit? Yes, it is. Because other people around me need the fruit that I can produce. Amen? Same as me. I need the fruit that other Christians produce. You might say, what kind of fruit? Let me read you some of the kinds of fruit. Everyone knows the fruits of the Spirit, probably in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. They're love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. These are fruits of the Spirit. And if someone's been walking with God for 40 or 50 or 60 years, those fruits should become very evident in their life. Amen? Come on now. You can't listen to bluegrass, country music, southern gospel music, and not be influenced by that. Amen? My kids are influenced by it. They want to change the channel. Can we listen to K-Love? Can we listen to anything but this, Dad? And if you were listening to that for 40 or 50 years, you would be influenced by it, wouldn't you? Come on. Same thing if you're walking with God. If you spend 40 or 50 years with the family of God, you will be influenced by that, and that fruit will be evident in your life. Amen? So our senior adults should be producing that type of fruit. The Bible actually teaches that it should be very evident what kind of tree they are. Amen? Because an apple tree doesn't produce oranges, does it? And an orange tree doesn't produce apples. A tree that's been planted in the house of God for 20 or 30 or 40 years should be producing much fruit. Amen? Because they didn't choose God. God chose them and appointed them that they would go and bear fruit. Let me give you a couple of other ones that I wrote down. Prayer. Many senior adults say, well, I can't get out. I can't go anywhere. I can't go and do like I used to do. Can you pray? Can you get on the phone and call people and be an encouragement and write letters? And many of our senior adults are financial supporters that have been successful in their work life and now they're financial supporters. Many of them are into evangelism and soul winning. Many of them are missing the number one thing that God wants them to do. It starts with a D. Discipleship. Discipleship. I don't know about you, but it took me about 6 years walking with God to realize that the Great Commission is not go and make converts. It's go and make disciples. Amen? A disciple is a follower. You have to be a follower to make a follower. Amen? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, Paul instructed Timothy, teach these things to other men who will in return teach these things who will teach other men. Amen? That's God's plan, not additions to the church, multiplication. We're to multiply. We need someone to teach us, don't we? I need someone to teach me.
I've had some elders, I've had some senior adults that God has put in my life that were wise, that I was able to learn from. Men who I listened to, when they confronted me, I would be telling them what I think, and they would tell me what God's Word says. I'd be telling them what I felt, and they would be telling me, this is how life really is. Amen? That's what our senior adults are.
Let me read to you just a couple of scriptures here. I'm going to read from Titus chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. If you'd like to turn there, it's almost our last scripture of the morning. But before I read that, I'm going to read to you one other one. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1 through 2. We must be very careful how we talk to our senior adults. As Paul was giving Timothy instruction, he said these words: do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers. Let me read you what the word exhort means. The word exhort means to advise strongly. So as a pastor, I should be advising our senior adults strongly that you should be discipling other people. Amen? It's not a rebuke. It's a strong advice that our elders, our senior adults, their role in this church is to advise and to mentor and to disciple the younger people. Our senior men should feel more than comfortable, Brother Claude, discipling the younger men. Many times the people that know aren't talking, and the people that are talking don't know. Can I get a witness? And I will tell you, we have some senior adults in here that are full of wisdom, that are full of knowledge, and they're being mighty quiet. And I think it's time for them to be leaders in our church. It's time for them to be honored today and put in the place where they are. Amen? Nobody can take the place of Jesus Christ. He's the one that I'm keeping my eyes on. He's the one that I'm following. He's the one that I'm fixing my eyes on. But our senior men and our senior women in this church are the ones that God has ordained to minister and to mentor to the younger people. Listen to what Titus chapter 2, verse 1 through 5 says. But as for you, and this is Paul talking to Titus, giving him some instructions. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, but teachers of good things. Here we go. Verse 4. That they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, to be chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Now, some of you women are saying, don't you tell me to be obedient to my husband.
Listen, if God tells the older women to teach the younger women to obey their husbands so that the word of God may not be blasphemed, what do you think that means? That means that if the older women aren't teaching the younger women how to be a wife of noble character, how to be the kind of mother God wants them to be, that the word of God is blasphemed. Matter of fact, if the women of our church are disrespectful to their husbands, the women in the world go, why would I want to be in that? The husbands of the world go, why would I want to be in church? So my wife can be like that? I don't want that. And the Bible teaches very clearly that the senior adult women and the senior adult men have the role in the church of teaching the younger men and the younger women on how to be a husband, how to rear a child, how to discipline a child properly. Amen? But many of us think, well, no, I know better than them. They spank their kids. I'm not going to spank mine. But you know what? Our senior adults go, well, you know, the Bible teaches that the rod of discipline is the only way to remove foolishness from the heart of a child. You know? One thing my 94-year-old grandma has taught me over and over and over again, she's been watching the water go under that bridge for 94 years. And we can come up with whatever kind of new thing we want, whatever kind of new program or whatever new kind of theology we can come up with, but Grandma always says this: anything new ain't true. And anything true ain't new. Amen? There's no new way to pastor a church. There's no new way to be a wife. There's no new way to be a husband. There's no new way to be a parent. And there's no new way to be a child. Things are the same. Amen? That's just the way it is.
And the last verse in our text today, Psalm 92, verse 15 says this: the role of the senior adult, let me read it again, they shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Verse 15, to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Well, that brings us to the place in our message today. The elder or the senior adult, one of their main jobs is discipleship, discipling the younger men and the younger women. And the other role of the senior adult is to declare that the Lord is upright. Have y'all ever been to the doctor? Everybody ever been to the doctor. That's how you came into the world. Amen. Here's the deal. Most of us go to the doctor who's been recommended by who? Somebody that's already been to the doctor. Most of us go to the dentist who's been recommended by somebody who's already been to that dentist. Most of us go to the chiropractor who someone has recommended because he got them straightened out. Amen. Well, that's the role of the senior adult in the church. Who better, who else to stand and declare how good is God than the ones who've been walking with him 40, 50, 60 years? Amen?
Amen.
They've already been through the problems. They've already been through the trials. They've already been through the temptations that we're going through now. They've already been through it. Amen? You're not the first one. There's no need to recreate the wheel. We can listen to the senior adults and listen from their testimony that God is good, that there's no unrighteousness in him. Amen? And I picked two. I believe that the Holy Spirit led me to pick two, and they can make their way up here to the front row right now, if you don't mind. Our senior adults, just come on up and sit on the front row. And they're going to give just a brief testimony. They're not preaching another sermon. They're just testifying to the goodness of God. And I'd just like for us to give our senior adults just a moment of our attention, okay? I'm going to ask Miss Rosine to come first, and Brother Junior, you'll come after her, and then I'll close.
Well, Bo asked me to say a few words today, and I told him no. But anyway, I thank the Lord for saving me and keeping me strong in my faith, and I just thank God for my church family and my preacher and my family, and I'm just proud to be a grandparent.
Thank you. Well, I'm a grandparent and all them things what she said, but I've had a lot of experience in life, to tell you the truth about it. As we go along life's way, I found a verse in Psalms that I really stuck to in my heart. I'd like to read it for you. If I can find it. In Psalms 1, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling. For he'll give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Now, as we sit here today, we heard Bo preach a message, and he read a lot of scripture. And I guess a lot of us do read scriptures, but we read over it. Do we stop to think of what that scripture means to us? A lot of us don't. And I'm one of them sometimes, because when I sit down and read the Bible, a lot of other things is on my mind, and I can't concentrate on what I'm reading. And another one is Proverbs 3, 5 through to 8 says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And I can attest to that he will direct your path if you believe in him and trust in him. I know that in my lifetime, I know all of us has got debt, and we'd like to get out of it. And at one time, I was $350,000 in debt. And you just stop and think about $350,000 in debt and had a $44,000 payment to make every year. And you can't do it on your own. But God, through you, can do it. And I'm telling you today that if you trust in God and do what he tells you to do, your life will be a whole lot better.
Well, that's just two. There's a whole lot more in here that could bear witness and bear testimony, but I know a lot of y'all are hungry. Amen. And we're going to allow our senior adults today, as usual, to go first. Not the preacher, but the senior adults to go first in our line. I want to read a scripture to you. Y'all don't get ready to go yet. Just want to read you one scripture, and I'm going to close today. Not going to have a time of invitation. We're just going to close in prayer, and then we're going to move into the fellowship hall and eat, okay? But I do want to give the senior adults just a word. Paul, you know, the aged one, at the end of his race, at the end of his walk with God here on earth, these are the words that he penned in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. He said, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you." So what you've done in the past is good, but God's concerned in what we're doing today and what you're going to do in the future. And you've heard me say it 100 times. I'm going to probably say it more than 500 times if I live. Our past does not dictate what we're doing today. Our future with the Lord for eternity should be dictating what we're doing today. Amen? Every single one of us has a bright future to look forward to. So I'm going to close us in a word of prayer. I'm going to pray.